You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. This morning, we are with Wilbur Milhouse III, the president and CEO of Milhouse Engineering and Construction. The Milhouse parent company encompasses a full-service architectural and engineering firm with more than 80 employees. Mr. Milhouse, certainly a privilege to have you a part of Enterprise Radio.
Thank you, Eric, for having me.
Hey, you're welcome. So first of all, how about telling our audience about Milhouse Engineering and Construction Incorporated and what you do and how you got started with your business?
Sure. I would love to. I started my company, as you mentioned, in 2001, so we just celebrated our 12th year anniversary on the 12th of this month. I'm a civil engineer by trade, so designing roadways, bridges, parks, those types of things were part of my general background. I basically transformed my company and diversified probably in 2004, where I started providing other services like electrical engineering, mechanical engineering, environmental, and today we've grown to just over 100 employees now, providing services for doing airport design, doing water wastewater design. Those are two of our very, very strong suits. We do a lot of program management, a lot of roadway, and general civil design, roadways, bridges, buildings. We do a lot of work on different facilities throughout several different states, and we've also started a construction company probably back in 2005 as well, which does a brick and mortar actual building of facilities like Walmarts and such.
Now, I understand that you recently took a trip to Nigeria with several other businessmen. Can you talk about that trip and what you learned while traveling over there?
Sure. Basically, it was a trip to just understand their market and be introduced to several of the politicians there and administration there and different business men and women there. And it was a very eye-opening situation. Of course, when you go to a third world country, you don't know what to expect. And many times media on different entities, you know, I didn't know if I was going to be seeing, you know, a very unurbanized area with, you know, very unurbanized things. And it was very up-to-date urban, and most of the individuals there wanted the same things that we want, but they just didn't necessarily have all of the things that we have. So for me, doing all of the things that we do, which is schools, libraries, police stations, roadways, airports, wastewater treatment systems, clean water treatment systems, all of those things they need, and they're growing into wanting them more and more like the way we have them. So it just looked like a land of opportunity in reference to just the amount of people, the needs that they had, and just the sophistication in reference to how they want it. So it was pretty exciting. It was also eye-opening from the standpoint of, you know, they don't necessarily conduct business the same way we do. When we talk to their government and different general governmental officials, it was not, let's find public funding for producing all of these things. They generally look for the private sector to really get things done. So if they had a new expressway, it's probably going to be a tollway, and it's probably going to be a P3 type of scenario to fund it and to engage with it. So the government isn't necessarily getting into a lot of debt. So it was pretty interesting in seeing the way they approach things and the level of the individuals that were participating in them.
I'm sure it was quite the trip. Now, I also recently read that your business will be doing some work in that country next year. Can you talk about the economic opportunities for businesses in Nigeria and why you felt that Nigeria also was a good fit for you and Millhouse Engineering and Construction?
Well, like I mentioned a little bit before, all of the things that we do is the types of things that that country needs and wants. And for the amount of people and the amount of space, you need those things. So clean water, water wastewater systems, or water filtration systems, power. One of the major components for them right now is they don't have consistent, steady power. So they just transferred the ownership of the power generation system and transformation system or transmitting systems to the private sector. So by doing this, now all of the private sector entities will now be producing their power, and that gives a host of opportunities for a lot of individuals there as well as abroad that want to do more in the electrical power generation side of things. So we're very interested in that. We do some of those things here. We felt that it was a great opportunity to go there and do those things. We've been designing O'Hare Airport here in Chicago, Illinois, since 2004, I think it's been, that we've been out there doing multiple projects, really growing and learning all about airports and becoming a world-class airport designer. And now they have a huge need for airports in that region. They don't really have a true and true international hub of an airport in most of Africa, and they're really considering putting a few airports in that region that's going to be world class big and be able to handle a lot of inflow of traffic. So those types of things excite us and get us interested in the region.
That is exciting stuff. Today we are joined by Mr. Wilbur Millhouse III, the president and CEO of Millhouse Engineering and Construction. The Millhouse parent company encompasses a full-service architectural and engineering firm with more than 80 employees. And he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Now, Mr. Millhouse, for American businesses considering investing in foreign markets, why would you say Nigeria is a great market to invest in? And why do you feel that Nigeria is now open for business?
Well, a couple of reasons. I just look at numbers. I mean, when you look at just the sheer size of Nigeria, Nigeria is probably the size of Texas and Oklahoma put together, right? And you can take half of the American population and put it in Texas and Oklahoma, that then you have Nigeria. Then you take that 160, 170 million people and you say, okay, you have a growing middle class that just grew by 10%. So you got 17 new middle class members of that want the same things that we want here in America. They want McDonald's. They want clean water. They want to be able to travel easily from place to place. They want to be able to go out and eat or go to malls and shop and buy things. So that is what you have in Nigeria. I mean, their housing market is booming. Their mall market, as far as building malls, they weren't necessarily used to having that, and that has really taken off and gone pretty well. Sports and sporting venues are being created and built there. So if you think of everything that we had for years, that they're building and wanting and creating right now, that's the market that you have. And so I look at it as just a place of opportunity for not just the things that we do, but also a host of things. I mean, you name it, you go there with it, and it probably will be very successful because they love America, and they have a high demand or desire to have American types of things.
Now, on another subject, where do you hope to take Millhouse Engineering and Construction Incorporated in the next few years, and where do you see yourself growing in the future?
Well, Africa in general is very interesting for us, and we're actually also looking at Azerbaijan. We're looking at Afghanistan. So we're very heavily looking at some of the other countries outside of America. We still have our American base, and we're doing things here, but we look at it as having a multi-phase attack. I mean, we're steadily growing. We hope to grow by about 50% next year. And we have slated to grow at least 25% right now. Things on the books that we have that we know will grow by another 25% of our population right now. And so we want to continue to have that growth and to continue to gain a lot of skill sets and wherewithal. So we look for opportunities to do bigger and better projects. So, you know, many things are done here and we're redoing them. So many of our wastewater treatment plants are 50 years old or 40 years old, and we have to go in and redo things, but it's not like going to a third world country and just creating that from scratch and using some of the modern things and technology that we have to basically build a new plant with. So that's exciting, as well as being right here at home, looking at all of the things to make those things better and operate better. So that's heavily where we're pushing to continue our growth and continue doing the things that we're doing.
Now, what advice do you have for our listeners who may be considering starting their own business or becoming a future entrepreneur? What kind of advice would you lend that type of a person?
Sure. Generally, I tell people, and that question comes in the way of what makes you successful, or how do you see success? And anyone who wants to be an entrepreneur wants to be successful. So what I tell them is, you got to be willing to work hard. Being, you know, from where I started and creating my firm 2 years or a year and a half after I created it, at night I was out delivering pizzas while during the day I was putting on my suit and tie and working on projects and talking to my clients. So not a whole lot of people know that, but, you know, now that I share that a lot, they go, wow, you were really delivering pizza? And I was like, yeah, me and my Mazda 66 driving around Chicagoland's downtown and area delivering pizzas while, you know, during the day, putting on my suit and tie, and I'm still working and doing my company. So you're going to have to work hard. That's one of the main things. You're going to have a solid skill set. So whatever it is that you do, you got to be the best at what you do. So if it's, you know, being an artist or being, you know, whatever it is, selling widgets, you just got to be the best at whatever that is. Then you also have to have a very solid social network. And I'm not just talking about your Facebook page and how many friends you have on it, but individuals that you actually interface with, that you talk business with, that you're learning things from them and they're learning things from you, and you could possibly meet other individuals in your industry to further your business. So having a strong social network is very, very important. And then you have the X factor, which is you need some luck. Whether you're a faith-based individual or not, you need some luck, you need to be blessed, or you have that X factor that you just seem to be in the right place at the right time. But if you have those other three things in place, having that last piece happens because you've put all of those other things to work.
Very, very helpful advice. I certainly appreciate that. And lastly, what is some of the best advice that you have heard from someone that they've passed along to you in starting your own business?
Very good question. One of the things is cash is king. Very early on when I first started my business, one of my past bosses told me when I first started, hold on to as much cash as possible. Never use your cash. Cash is king. And you see that in whenever you're trying to do anything, that the more cash that you have to be able to grow and expand, it's very important, because you can't do many things if you don't have the financial resources to be able to do it. So don't spend your cash so fast, and save more than you spend. So that's one of the key things. And one of the odd sort of things that I was told by another individual was, you'll be surprised, the person that you think should help you won't be the person that will help you. It'll be the person that is a perfect stranger, that has no reason to help you, that will. And that has been true many, many times throughout building my business, that individuals that I've worked side by side with, that I've done a lot of things for, that I thought was going to be there and helping, supporting, and pushing us along, were not as helpful as I thought. And perfect strangers will come in and give you an opportunity that you'd be amazed by. So be ready for that.
Very, very rich information and content. Certainly appreciate all that. Now, how about telling our listeners where they could get more information about Millhouse Engineering and Construction online before you go?
Sure. www.millhouseinc.com. That's with one L, MILHOUSEINC.com. And that has all of our information. We build about anything and everything. So we would welcome an opportunity to work with anybody.
Well, certainly appreciate your joining us here on Enterprise Radio, and Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you as well.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Mr. Wilbur Millhouse III, the president and CEO of Millhouse Engineering and Construction. The Millhouse parent company encompasses a full-service architectural and engineering firm with more than 80 employees. And the website of reference, once again, is MillhouseInc.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.